Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2069, with a release date of Friday, June 23rd, 2017, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Hams enjoy the longest radio day of the year in England. Schools begin prepping for space station contacts. And hurricane season is upon us. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report 2069 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Charleston, West Virginia, here's Jim Dameron, NATMW.
Don't look now, but hurricane season has just gotten underway. As we start this cautious time of year on the Atlantic coast of the U.S., our first report comes to us courtesy of Phil Thomas, W8RMJ, of the Amateur News Weekly podcast. Phil reports on the recent release of the 2017 Hurricane Outlook from NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
June the 1st marked the official start of the 2017 hurricane season, which continues through November the 30th. In an average season, based on data from 1981 to 2010, 12 named tropical cyclones should be expected, with six of these reaching hurricane intensity, with three developing into major hurricanes. The outlook is a general guide to the expected overall activity during the upcoming hurricane season. It is not a seasonal hurricane landfall forecast, nor does it predict levels of activity for any particular location. The official NOAA 2017 hurricane season outlook indicates a 45% probability of an above normal season. The outlook calls for between 11 and 17 named storms. This already includes preseason Tropical Storm Arlene, which occurred in April. Of these named storms, between 5 and 9 of them could reach hurricane intensity, with between 2 and 4 of these becoming major hurricanes. FEMA is encouraging residents and businesses to prepare by understanding their risk, planning for the entire family, and downloading the FEMA app. The app contains important information on what to do before and after hurricanes. The app also allows users to receive weather alerts from NOAA's National Weather Service, including life-saving safety tips. To learn more, go to www.hurricanes.gov.
That was Phil Thomas, W8RMJ of Amateur News Weekly. For more news from the Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana area, visit AmateurNewsWeekly.com. True fans may already know this, but TV's Last Man Standing appears to have breathed its last. The show, which was canceled by ABC, was in talks to be revived on CMT, but media reports indicated that negotiations with 20th Century Fox Television as of June 20th had broken down. According to the Hollywood Reporter website, talks fell apart over cost. The ratings hit, which ran for 6 seasons on ABC, featured Tim Allen as an amateur radio operator. The show eventually prompted the actor to get his own real-life license, KK6OTD. At least for now, his character, Mike Baxter, KA0XTT, appears to have become a silent key. The Northern Hemisphere's longest day is June 21st, and one group of hams in the UK think that makes a perfect opportunity for a long day of radio. Amateur Radio Newsline's Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, spoke to the Essex Ham Group prior to the event to hear just what their plans were going to be.
On the day of the summer solstice, some people may choose to dance at Stonehenge, but in another part of the UK, amateurs plan on making the most of the longest day of the year by making it a full day, a very full day of amateur radio.
It's a little bit of tradition with some of our guys who've been doing it for a few years now. It, of course, is the longest day, so if you're going to do a day's worth of amateur radio, do the longest day, why not?
That was Pete, M0PSX of Essex Ham, the group that plans on marketing the solstice with three activations this year, Sunday the 18th of June, Wednesday the 21st, of course, and Saturday the 24th of June. Special event station GB1JSS operates from sunrise to sunset at a central location in Chelmsford, where there are passers-by, a nice pub, and some radio history.
But Chelmsford is what we call the birthplace of broadcasting. So 1922 was where all the broadcasting started here in the UK. And we are not that far away, 4 or 5 miles away from where it all started.
It all seems a good fit for the calendar and the location, which is what its creator Charlie, M0PZT of Essex Ham, had in mind when he first suggested the event, that is the special event station, not the solstice. They've been planning for a long day on the air.
We will do as much as we possibly can on Saturday. So for the US, it'll be 9 a.m. GMT will be the start of our activities on Saturday. We normally tweet as soon as we're set up. So if people do want to find out what we're up to, if they follow at Essex Ham or look on Facebook, we always announce the frequencies we're operating on. If anyone wants to work us, brilliant. If we can set up a sked for someone, if someone would be keen to make that connection with us in Chelmsford, let us know. Really, the Twitter feed is the active one for us. So at Essex Ham. We also have a Facebook page and, of course, a website, which is www.essexham.co.uk. And yes, we'll keep you all updated. We'll be on as many bands as we can, typically 40, 20, 30. We do CW as well as voice. We even have DMR, some of the digital radio stuff there as well, normally. So if we know people are out there trying to work us, we'll make sure we let you know where we are.
As the hams in Essex might say, who needs Stonehenge anyway? For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
We're happy to say that Amateur Radio Newsline's European correspondent, Ed Duran, DD5LP, caught up with the special event station on the longest day of the year, and here's a small part of his contact.
GB1JSS Delta, Delta 5, Lima Papa, DD5LP.
Good morning, DD5LP, good afternoon to you. Thank you for coming back for my call. GB1JSS is saying, operator here is Dorothy, or Doc for short, going for Oscar Tango, and we are here at special event station for the June Summer Solstice here in Chelmsford in Essex, home of the radio in the southeast of England. That's through DD5LP and GB1JSS.
Hams were expected to get one more try on Saturday, June 24th, for contact with GB1JSS. There's big excitement in Pinson, Alabama right now as Pinson Valley High School prepares for what it hopes will be its space station moment. Amateur Radio Newsline's Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, has that story.
Pinson Valley High School in Alabama has become one of 13 educational facilities in the U.S. to be chosen for the Amateur Radio on the International Space Station program. What happens next? The school needs to submit its proposal and equipment plan for ARIS review and demonstrate that the school can be available at those moments between next January and June when NASA can arrange for amateur radio contact opportunities with one of the astronauts on board. English teacher Jennifer Moore, who is leading the faculty team behind the project, said the experience is designed to make the sciences real to students in a meaningful way and encourage careers in related fields of technology, engineering, and mathematics. The school's partners in the space station venture will include the Southern Museum of Flight, the U.S. Space and Rocket Center, and the Birmingham Amateur Radio Club's Amateur Radio Advancement Group. The excitement is real elsewhere, too. Students and teachers are doing the same in a dozen other schools this year, including Mill Springs Academy in Alpharetta, Georgia, Freeport Public Schools in Freeport, New York, and Belafonte Area Middle School in Belafonte, Pennsylvania. This is one effective way of getting students to aim high. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the WR9ARC repeater of the Riverland Amateur Radio Club in La Crescent, Minnesota, as part of the Sunday Night Net at 8 p.m. local time. A few weeks before the Friedrichshafen Ham Radio event, Australian and New Zealand amateurs will gather in Churchill, about 105 miles east of Melbourne, Australia, for GippsTech 2017. The event is organized by the Eastern Zone Amateur Radio Club. Amateur Radio Newsline's John Williams, VK4JJW, tells us more.
GippsTech 2017 is a conference in Victoria, Australia that focuses on microwave, UHF and VHF operations, particularly for weak signal operations. Amateurs will attend the annual gathering this year on July 1st and 2nd. The conference, which has been held for 20 years, is organised by the Eastern Zone Amateur Radio Club. Peter Freeman, VK3PF, chairman of GippsTech, told Amateur Radio Newsline that it's modelled after similar events in the US that allow hams to share techniques for various weak signal operations. Peter said the Eastern Zone Club itself has a number of enthusiastic members who are interested in these modes of communication, and GippsTech became an outgrowth of that. What started as a one-day event is now a formal two-day conference, drawing amateurs from most of the states throughout Australia and even New Zealand and elsewhere. At the 2003 event, Joe Taylor, K1JT, presented his WSJT software, which was then still new. This year, the agenda will include some microwave activations, and there'll be reports on previous year's proceedings available for purchase. The conference is making a partners program available with a minibus providing sightseeing in the local area. If you want to be among this year's attendees, please note that registration closes June 25th. Download a registration form at vk3bez.org/conference. For more details, contact Peter, VK3PF, at vk3pf@wia.org.au. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm John Williams, VK4JJW.
It's never too early to start testing equipment and setup for a big event. And in Germany, that's what hams are doing to prepare for the World Radio Sport Team Championship, or WRTC. Here's Amateur Radio Newsline's Ed Durant, DD5LP.
In preparation for the World Radio Team Championship in 2018, the second test day will take place from the 23rd to the 25th of June around Jessen in central Germany. The focus will be on testing logistics and training the volunteer support teams, along with looking for any possible process improvements. Nearly 100 volunteers are coming from all over Germany to build the 15 stations. On Saturday, after completing their training on Friday, the 15 teams will go to their allocated sites to assemble the test stations. The goal is to assemble all structures quickly and smoothly, while documenting any areas where the process can be optimised. After each site is set up, radio operation is planned. This will not only test the online scoreboard system, but also act as publicity for WRTC 2018. It is expected there will be a lot of DX traffic on 20 or 15 metres on Saturday evening, which coincides with the ARRL field day. A special diploma for contacts with the test stations is planned. For details about the diploma and how to submit a request, monitor the WRTC2018.de website. On Sunday, all sites will be dismantled, the material checked and stored. During the tests, live pictures will be posted to Facebook. The test weekend should help the organisers evaluate the best techniques and new possibilities before WRTC 2018. For Amateur Radio Newsline, this is Ed Durant, DD5LP.
European amateurs are preparing for a major global gathering of hams in Germany this month, and Summits on the Air will be a big part of it. Here's Amateur Radio Newsline's Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, with more details.
Now that Hamvention is behind us, it's time for Europe to put on a world-class amateur radio event. Like Dayton, Ham Radio in southern Germany attracts hams and vendors from around the world. Ham Radio takes place at the Convention and Exhibition Center in Friedrichshafen, located on Lake Constance, which forms the border between Germany and Switzerland. The town is used to hosting the largest trade events in Europe, and Ham Radio uses only a fraction of the space available. All sellers, including the flea market, are inside the well-ventilated, Zeppelin-sized halls. The air-conditioned lecture rooms host multiple parallel lecture streams across all 3 days. As you'd expect, outside you'll find the beer gardens, and there are several food outlets to give you the energy to explore the 3 amateur radio and 1 maker fair halls. Many international groups use the event for a once-a-year meetup, and one of those is the worldwide SOTA community, for whom this year, Saturday, June 24th, will become SOTA Day. After the annual meetup at noon by the QSL wall, lectures run from 2 to 3:45 p.m., followed by an activation of a local SOTA summit. To finish out the day, there's a SOTA dinner where, thanks to SOTA beams, a prize of a Whisperlite unit will be awarded to the attendee wearing the most original SOTA clothing item. So, if you're in Europe between July 14th and 16th, why not try to get down to ham radio at Friedrichshafen, especially if SOTA is your thing? Amateur Radio Newsline's own European correspondent, Ed Durant, DD5LP, will be attending and promises to produce a report. Ed asks, if you see him at the show in his blue Amateur Radio Newsline staff polo shirt, please come up and say hello. And who knows? You may be included in his report. For Amateur Radio Newsline, this is Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT.
In the world of DX, as Azerbaijan hosts the Formula One Grand Prix in its capital city of Baku, several special event stations are active. Be listening for 4JF1EU, 4JF1BAKU, 4KF0NE and 4KF1BAKU from the 23rd of June to the 25th. Send QSLs direct or via Logbook of the World. Hams belonging to the Cuban Amateur Radio Association, FRC, will be using the call sign CO9KAA, marking the 50th anniversary of an annual cultural event honoring the 19th century poet Cristobal Napale Farrado from June 28th until July 3rd. Listen on 80, 40, 20, 15, 10, and 6 meters, where hams will be using CW and SSB. And finally, promise her the moon, perhaps, but deliver her an asteroid. Swedish radio amateur Asta Pellinen-Wanberg, SM3UHV, has done her job so well that the International Astronomical Union thought she needed a show of appreciation. Well, there was no wrapping paper large enough for this gift, her very own personal celestial body. It's known as Asteroid 118071-Wanberg, and it's hers and hers alone. Asta is chair of the Swedish National Committee for Radio Science, where she is responsible for helping to promote research, development, and education in the field of radio. Now she's even got a little asteroid to call her very own. Hopefully it's just the right size and color, and she won't try to exchange it for a planet instead. With thanks to Allen Labs, Amateur News Weekly, the ARRL, the Associated Press, CQ Magazine, Eastern Zone Amateur Radio Club, Essex Ham, the FCC, Fox News, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, the Hollywood Reporter, Irish Radio Transmitters Society, Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, Reuters, the Stillwater Amateur Radio Association, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, Wireless Institute of Australia, WMUK Public Radio, WTWW Shortwave, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website, located at www.arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Jim Dameron, NATMW in Charleston, West Virginia, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2017, all rights reserved.